You may be seated. May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. A countercultural life. Counterculture life. Did you listen to the gospel today? Is this not one of the toughest teachings in the whole Bible? But I tell you, you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Who does this? Who does this? There couldn't be a starker contrast with the way people actually live and maybe even feel is the right way to live than what we have in our scripture today. Have you ever seen these bumper stickers? Some of these are really old. Do unto others before they can do it to you. I don't get mad, I get even. That's an old one, right? Almost cliche now. Keep hunking, I'm reloading. Please tailgate, I need the money. Right? Oh, there's a whole list of them. That's enough of them. We cheer and find inwardly satisfying those revenge movies, like of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Liam Neeson, Clint Eastwood, Charles Bronson, and the contemporary examples of this. You know what? In the 9:30 service, I had a lady who is one of our great members, and she was going to everyone I mentioned, she'd go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, obviously, you love those movies. And yeah, yeah, yeah. And frankly, so do I. I kind of like them too. In truth, we live in a world of violence, terrorism, increasing litigation, suing, counter-suing, vendettas, rivalries, and bitter disputes. We don't want anybody taking advantage of us. The normal way of living in this world is if they're harsh with us, we'll be harsh right back to them. And because of the movies I just mentioned and because of social media, we're prompted to go a step further. I mean, you slap me, I'll break your arm. You cut me off, I'll follow you to your home and I'll key your car. In our prayers in the 9:30 service, there's a man who was selling his Xbox in Chattanooga. And the guy came, got the Xbox, and as the guy turned around, 24-year-old guy, he shot him in the back. And then he bragged about it on social media. He killed him. Who does this? And yet it is happening, isn't it? The desire of many is to take it one step further. When someone is murdered, what question is usually asked? Did he or she have any enemies? He or she have any enemies? I can imagine some of you actually saying, you know, I don't think I have any enemies. I really can't think of anybody that I would consider an enemy. Like the little girl who wrote her pastor, "Dear pastor, I heard you say that we are to love our enemies. I am only 6 and do not have any yet. I hope to have some by age 7. Love, Jennifer. Well, you've probably defined enemy too narrowly. An enemy can be a competitor, a rival, a challenger, a nemesis, an antagonist, a family member, a neighbor, an ex-spouse, a bully. So what do you make of these words of Jesus? Don't they seem impossible to you? I mean, let people take advantage of you? Really? Really? Do good to those who are trying to hurt you? Let somebody steal from you? Who does that? Bless those who mistreat you. Pray for those who hate you and gossip against you and ruin your reputation. Really? Really? But isn't that what Jesus said? I can just hear people say, well, if this is what Christianity is about, I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of it. Or at least I don't want that part of it. Let me ask you this. What is the impetus, the motivation to live like this? Why would anyone strive to live like this in the world that we live in? Now you can see how radical Christianity is. It is all about the extreme love of God that He displays in Jesus for us. The extreme and almost unexplainable love of God. This grace from Jesus is meant to remake us, to recast us, to have us be born anew. We cannot be this way on our own. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to do what Jesus said. And it's not going to put you right with God because you're always going to fall short. I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to be just this person who does everything Jesus says. Do you know anybody who can do that? Do it in a way that they never mess up? Do you know anybody? I don't. No, if we can love our enemies and pray for them, it's the fruit of being remade. It's because we've been graced and been given this extreme love of God that the world knows nothing about. The impetus is because God is kind and loving to the ungrateful and the evil. And yes, that can be us. If we're merciful, it's because He's been merciful to us first. The extreme love of God for us is seen all for all time when we look at the cross and see that Christ died for us while we were His enemies. Well, let's take a look at how Jesus interacted with His enemies, how He dealt with His enemies. First, I want you to note something. Jesus never said, do not have enemies. Jesus never said that. If you speak the truth, if you try to defend the defenseless, if you try to do right in this world, you will have enemies. In fact, if you don't have enemies, if everybody loves you, you're doing something really wrong. Yes, you are. Maybe it's people hurting other people and you say nothing. Well, shame on you. Shame on you. Some enemies need to be made. Jesus had scores of enemies. Does he sound particularly loving when he says this to the Pharisees? You snakes, you brood of vipers. How in the world are you going to not be condemned to go to hell? Now, I've added a few words there, but that's essentially what he said. Did he wish them to go to hell? No. Jesus hated the idea of anybody perishing. He didn't have the slightest molecule of bitterness or hatred in him. He went to the cross for the Pharisees too. Father, forgive them. They know what they do. He said that from the cross, right? Jesus was angry at times. He was angry that the Pharisees were taking the people and abusing them and leading them wrong. They, the most religious. Jesus could be angry. And by the way, sometimes so should we. We should be angry. Yes, I'm getting an amen there. We should be angry when we see injustice. We should be angry. And not to be angry and not to speak the truth in times like that, we're not doing the Lord's will. Jesus' whole philosophy of love was rooted in this extreme love that he showed the world. What he said to the Pharisees was the truth meant to penetrate their hard hearts. And many Pharisees did come to believe in Jesus and did come to believe in this extreme love that God showed his people through Jesus. The most notable Pharisee, of course, was the Apostle Paul. So, how can we live the countercultural life? How can we do this? First and foremost, as a believer in Jesus, and you have to be a believer in Jesus, you're going to live this way. Justified, redeemed, saved, remade, born again, put right with God by grace through faith. Without faith in him, you can't do it. You can't love your enemies. If you're a believer, I want to tell you, I'm going to start with a warning. If you have any mind, any desire to live like Jesus did in this world, I want to give you this warning right off the bat, is you will constantly be tempted, enticed, coaxed, persuaded to go back to the worldly way of living. When someone takes advantage of you, you're going to have friends say to you, you better not stand for that. You better give them this. You better retaliate. You're going to have good Christian friends say that to you sometimes, right? They're going to say, no, don't take that, right? And you'll step right back into that old way of living and reacting. I know we all do. We all do. There was a TV movie, mind you, it's a TV movie, okay? And it's about this this man who has this love-hate relationship going on with his father. And he was trying desperately to hurt his dad in a business deal. They were in the same business. When his stepmother, TV movie, heard about this, she chastised the young man. And this is what he responded. I just want to beat him once. I just want to beat him once. To which she replied, you haven't beaten him. You have become him. If you go with worldly wisdom, you'll soon be forgetting who you are, one with whom Christ has expended this extreme love on, who has smothered you with kindness and forgiveness. You will forget the one whom has been generous with you, forgiving you, and now doing away with all your ingratitude and your sin. Loving you when you haven't been loving. So how do we live a countercultural life? So certainly it has to be with the Spirit's power. There's nothing in us that if we're hit on one side, we'll not want to hit right back. There's nothing in us except that the Holy Spirit's in us. And the Holy Spirit gives us power we couldn't get anywhere else. But we're also to do what the Scriptures say in our gospel lesson and in other parts of Scripture. And what does it say? Ephesians 4, for instance, added to what you just heard. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of rage and anger and brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you. Get rid of it. Not just a little bit of it, all of it. Don't leave a tiny crumb of bitterness remain. You know why? Because if you leave a little bit of bitterness there, it'll eventually metastasize, and it'll become rage and anger, and you'll relive it again, and you'll be right back where you shouldn't be. Get rid of it. Instead, let's be active in love, in rightfully understanding God's will for us. I want to stop here and just say, whenever we do ask for God's forgiveness, confession, absolution, and when we take communion, I want to tell you the mechanics of what's happening there. Okay? We're confessing our sin, and God promises to cleanse us of it, to extract it from us. We take communion, He's doing the same thing. He's cleansing us. I call it a divine medication. He's cleansing us from the inside out, right? But then we hear forgiveness. Then we take communion. He's also infusing us with this extreme love. That's what He's putting into us. Now, when He says get rid of, let's be active in love. Rightfully understanding the commandments, the Ten Commandments. You know, we ought to review those from time to time. Do you know the Ten Commandments? You know, like a person on the street coming up to you with a microphone. How many of the Ten Commandments do you know? I bet in here we would do really well. Would you do really well? Well, maybe it's time to review them again, right? And when you review the Ten Commandments, if Martin Luther did one thing really great, I mean, he did a lot of things great. He did some things not so great, but he's just like us. He wrote the Small Catechism. Catechism is an instruction book. And behind every commandment, he put an explanation. And they are fantastic. Right? So if we're to be active in love, the commandments don't just tell us, don't do. As Luther points out in these explanations, it also tells us what to do. What to do. Don't murder anybody. But do help and support your neighbor. Be kind to them. Be kind to that neighbor who just happens to be suing you over property rights. Even then. Right? Do good to those, even to those who are not doing good to you. Don't steal from anyone. Do help to improve and protect your neighbor, that means anybody's, property and business. So the opposite of stealing is helping them with their property and business. Thou shalt not bear false witness against. Don't lie about your neighbor. Don't slander your neighbor. Don't gossip about your neighbor. But what? Defend your neighbor. Speak well of your neighbor. And there's this marvelous line that Luther had, one of the best lines ever. But put the best construction on everything. What that means is, think the best of your neighbor. Think the best of him. Will we be able to live a countercultural life? No, not entirely. That's why we have a Savior, right? We have a Savior. We will catch ourselves going against this Word of God, and then we will have to confess it. But we have an impetus. We have a motivation to live like that, don't we? We do. We have a motivation to love people in a way that they're not accustomed to be loved. In a way that says, what is here? What kind of person is this What do they believe? We have that. We have that. We have been extremely loved by Jesus Christ. And we can love others. And believe me, it'll change their world just as it changes our world. In Jesus' name and to His glory, may it be so among us. Amen. Let's rise and let's